How do we get to the Machlokas Rebbe and the Rabbanan? So everyone's opened the Gemara, so we at least know where we are. It's a little bit disjointed learning, so let's at least try to maintain our own flow of what the Gemara is discussing. As we spoke about yesterday, the Mishnah on the Pesimid Beis is, thank you for the water yesterday, is for all intents and purposes the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of Bava Kamma. Had the Gemara not been sidetracked by Avos and Tolados, this would be the start. The initial Gemara quotes the Braisa. Remember the Braisa yesterday? Tana Rabbanan, Shah Rubar, Shemasa Lechar Shelta Bekata. That was a conceptualization that we tried to wrap our heads around. We saw Shitas HaTalzo, Shitas HaRaivitz, Shitas HaRam, according to the Rav. We didn't yet see Shitas Rashi. We'll get back to Rashi maybe at some point. Okay. Now to the bottom of Daf Testament Beis, the Gemara quotes another Braisa, just so you can get comfortable with the way Gemaras operate. Right, Gemaras quote Braisas and then discuss Braisas. Sometimes when there's no Braisa, there's just a machlokas and a rhyme about the Mishnah. But as long as there are Braisas, the first priority, at least initially, is going to be quoting a Braisas that elaborate what the Mishnah doesn't. So many of you may have learned Kiddushin in high school. So the first Mishnah is a little bit more cryptic, but succinct than the first Braisa. The first Mishnah says, Isha Niknes because of Shtar V'Kiddushin. And the first Braisa, it takes Gemara again a couple of pages to get to that Braisa, a couple of dapim, not tamid base. Kesef B'Kesef, Nasal L'Kesef, Oshav B'Kesef, Amalari M'Kudeshesli. That's on the Dalar M'Hamid base. So the same thing here. We have a very, very succinct Mishnah called Shechavti B'Shmirasa. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi wrote very succinctly. So the first thing Gemara wants to do is other Braisas that can help me elaborate. So the first Braisa we saw yesterday was Masar Shor L'Chereshot V'Katan Masar Bor versus Masar Eish, and we tried to discuss it. Now we're towards the bottom of the Daf, one Daf Tesamid Beis, about six lines up. Tana Rabbanan, these are the Chomers. The Gemara is going to start holding up Bor versus Shor, Bor versus Eish, Shor versus Eish, basically those three, without drilling down to what Shor is. In the beginning of the first paragraph, we want to really know what Shor is, Shane, Karen, Regal. But right now, this Braisa is taking Shor in general, Karen, Shane, Regal, comparing it to Bor and Eish, Bor to Eish, Eish to Shor. So it's like a 3x3 matrix, and it tries to point out the chumras that each has that the other doesn't. Okay, so it's not, there isn't that much lumdus in the Gemara. We're just trying to say each has a chumra, and we all know that those chumras are important because those are called mamatzino blockers. Mamatzino means, oh, the Torah wrote Regal, can I learn Shane? Up, stop! Regal, not Regal, but Shor has a chumra. So this goes to the Torah written Shor, I couldn't extrapolate Bor, because it's Bor. Now again, in the beginning, because the Mishnah was more specific, so the first Mishnah drilled down to Shane versus Regal, Regal versus Karen. But this Mishnah doesn't mention any of us in the Sikkin. By the way, it could very well be, it's hard to know how Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi compiled, it could very well be that whoever taught this Mishnah, obviously who came before Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, wasn't really discussing Avos and Tolados. He was discussing something else. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi had a mind of his own, so he took Shitos and he compiled them into a larger mosaic. Obviously, there's an integrity to all the Mishnahs. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi compiled them. He was one person. But it could be that whoever taught this Mishnah 400 years or 200 years before Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi wasn't discussing Avos and Tolados. Maybe he didn't have Avos and Tolados in his world. That'd be hard to imagine. But whenever we don't have Avos and Tolados, we don't have specification here. We have Shor versus Bor, Bor versus Eish, and Shor versus Eish. And those chumras, we know those chumras are called mamasino blockers to explain, to justify whether Torah had to write Shor, Bor, and Eish. Okay? So there's some interesting ideas that come out, but it's not a primarily lumdashic conversation where the Gemara poses a conceptualization that is strange and odd and forces us to redefine Bava Kamma. This is just the Gemara going through what we would call its reps, making sure that we know that there are differences between Bor, Eish, and Shor. Okay, again, we'll get back to this Gemara. I don't like skipping as we're doing skipping we have to do. But right now we're at the bottom of Daf Yudim and Aleph. The bottom of Daf Yudim and Aleph, now the Gemara is going to drill down to the Mishnah. The Mishnah had two lines. Let's go back to the Mishnah, called Shechavti B'Shmirasa V'Chsharti Es Niska. The second line, which we paid much less attention to, because we were more excited about the first line of the Mishnah, was Hechsharti Miktsas Nisko. Chavti b'tashlumei nisko, kehechsher kol nisko. Okay, now you have my attention. If you were partially responsible, hechsharti miktsas nisko, you're entirely chayef. Ha, that sounds interesting. Partial negligence, full chayef. What's the scenario? And what does this tell me about niske mamon? Okay, now you have my attention. What do you mean partially responsible? Either I'm fully responsible or I'm not responsible at all. What do you mean partial responsibility? It's quantified. It's quantum. If you watched, even though you didn't watch perfectly, but you watched sufficiently, there's a floor. If you hit the floor, you're fine. If you go beyond, you're fine. If you don't go beyond, it's like whatever we define as a shmira karoy, if you perform the shmira karoy, you're pater. If you didn't perform the shmira karoy, you're chayiv. What does it mean, partial? How do you have a partial karoy? If the rubs aren't strong enough, you're chayiv. If they are strong enough, you're pater. So the Gemara senses that evidently there's a unique case being discussed. And we'll see, in Meretz Hashem, two different scenarios. One scenario about Bor, so again, it could be Bor centric, as we'll see today. And in Meretz Hashem next week, one scenario about Adam HaMazik. So it's really, really not true. You can't be chayv by Shor and Eish, the normal Mazikim, for partial responsibility. You can't extend full coverage for partial responsibility. It seems to apply by a case of Bor, and possibly it applies to a case of Adam. So we're going to discuss the Bor case. And now let's read the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Hechsharti Yudim and Aleph, Hechsharti Mikzas Nisko, Chavti B'Tashlumi Nisko, Kehechsher Kol Nisko, Keitzad. What is the Mishnah referring to, cryptically? What's this coded reference to? Keitzad, Hachofer Bor Tisha, Ubachav Shem Elasara, Hachron Chayiv, B'Taloku Rabbi. Happens to be a Machlokas Daf Nun Aleph and Aleph, a Machlokas Tanayim. Okay, let's pick Gabi and Henry. So Gabi digs the bor for Yud, and Henry finished digs the 10th tefach. So now this is a killer bor. So who's chayiv? So Rebbe says, well, if someone dies or something dies, an animal dies, then Henry's chayiv because he created the death trap. But if the animal just gets damaged, then Henry and Gabi split the liability. The Rabbanan say, Achar Achron l'shneim. Achofer bor tishu v'archav v'shneim v'asar. Achron chayiv. Rebbe Omer, Achar Achron l'misar. Achar Shnehem Linizakin. Okay, so interestingly enough, this reference, okay, follow carefully, in the Mishnah Daf Tes is a reference against Rebbe. Rebbe included a reference against the Shita, because he possibly liked the Rabbanan, because he's a Shita Siachid. So when Rebbe wrote the Mishnah Daf Tes, says, by the way, I have a machlokas with the Rabbanan, who should be chayiv. I feel that in some cases the initial guy should be chayiv, if it's Nizikin. My argument, my disputants, the Rabbanan feel that the second guy is chayiv for everything. I'll draw it on the board in a moment. I'm going to write a Mishnah that reminds you that even though I know what I feel, but the Pesach is like the Rabbanan, Achar Achron L'Shnei. So while I'm writing it on the board, you're welcome to take a look at the Mishnah on Daf Nun Aleph and Aleph. It's my first Mishnah. Rebbe is referring to that machlokas that came up on Daf Nun Aleph, and it's not a Mishnah, it's a brisa of Daf Nun Aleph. So what's our case? Okay. Reuven digs the bore 9 tefachim. Shimon adds an extra tefach. By the way, 9 tefach bore is capable of nesek. This is a bore for nesek. Not a bor for Misa. Now Shimon comes and adds a tefach. Now, I'm going to change the color for you so it's clear. Shimon adds a tefach. So Shimon creates a bor of 10 tefachim. So Rebbe says, Achar, Achron, Lumbisa, the animal dies. Obviously, Shimon created the death. But Achar Shneim, Lumbisa. But for damages, they share the liability. Rabbanan say, Achar Shneim, Achar Achron. We pin it on Shimon for everything. And this Mishnah, by saying, Kol Shecharti Mixas Nisko, Chayav Ki Lecharti Kol Nisko, is passing it like Rabbanan. We pin the blame on Shimon in total, both for Nizikin and for Misa. Okay. Henry. According to? He is responsible for everything.
I'm saying, could you say the same thing for either person?
Well, that's what we'll talk about, okay? Henry is raising the following question. Henry, flip it around. Which shita makes the most sense to you, intuitively? Reuven created a nezek bor. Shimon added the lethality. Is that a word? The lethal capacity. So when an animal dies, it's on Shimon. If an animal gets damaged, it's on both Reuven and Shimon. What sense, Henry, can there be for Shitas Chachamim, which is what your question was? You just jumped a step. Try to first jump a step back. Rebbe, just be more organized. Rebbe makes more sense. We have to give a svara for the Rabbana. That's our challenge today. Remember, every time you have a machlokas at any level, it could be a machlokas tanaim, amaraim, yishan, machorim. It could be just two ways, two ikad amris in the Gemara, a havamina maskana, two pshats and tazos, which makes more sense. You can't think about two shitas at once. It's hard to think about one sheet at once. Put one sheet on the side, this doesn't need a svar. Give a svar for the other sheet, and then, of course, once you give a svar for the other sheet, and then go back and think why the initial sheet that seems so intuitive is no longer so intuitive. So for us, this is pretty easy pickings. I imagine most people in their right mind would side with Rebbe. Reuven created a damaged capacity. If an animal gets damaged, what difference does it make if Shimon added that 10th tefach? Why should adding the 10th tefach completely exclude Reuven from liability if the animal gets damaged? Animal dies, I know. Shimon, Reuven didn't create a lethality. If the animal gets damaged, why should Reuven be off the hook just because Shimon dug that extra tefach? That's our question. So what do you think? Anyone have an idea? What do you think, Avi? We all know that, and therefore, but give me a category, give me a concept. We all know, we all sense that it's worse, but it's worse in a redundant fashion because the worseness shouldn't impact the nesek. So you have to jump up a category. You understand? It's worse. Okay, you're a bad person. But in Bava Kamma, Shimon didn't create the nesek. Something Shimon did has to attract all the liability, not just because he's worse. Follow, take his actions and say, and therefore, structurally, what's happening? Yes.
Yesterday, there's a third point, shifts, you don't want to the cutter, so therefore that third point you kind of screwed the original.
Okay, so now let's start to work with it. That third party, that extra party, the fact that Shimon dug the 10th tefach, continue, build a category. What does he do by digging the 10th tefach? He created a new bore. Not just that it's worse. It's almost as if he filled in and dug it again. He now becomes the author of the entire bore. Anyone say a lashon like that in the Rishonim that you read? He almost removed the first person's actions, and now it's like he dug the entire boar, even the 9 tefach height, not just the 10th tefach. Who spoke like that? The opposite. Ashitim Mekubetzes, quoting Rebbe Yonasan. Let's open up Ashitim Mekubetzes, and we'll see his lashon. Okay. Daf Yud Amud Aleph. Okay, I'm not going to tell you what he says because we'll get to it. He's discussing another case, a derivative case. His point is, the hosif tefach, if Shimon, I'm reading in the middle, though, you'll see why. If Shimon adds a tefach, nistalku, Avi, nistalku, maiserisha. You hear that? Nistalku, maiserisha. Now, it may not be true about, let's say, the Chereshot de Bekotan, because I didn't completely eliminate the previous action, but here, when I'm digging down, if I want to get to a depth of 10, I've got to go through 9. Now, you happen to have dug the 9, so I don't have to dig it again, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm digging 10, says Shimon. Shimon is the sole and complete author of this bor. He dug all 10 tefachim. Because when you come to an already dug bor, I don't know if I could say it by shor or esh, but by bor, where you're digging depth into the ground, and you can only get to 10 by going through 1 through 9, so your digging of the 10th is reconfiguring the bor. You're redoing the entire bor. Keep this in your mind. You're mesalik maiserishon. Shimon becomes the bor digger, not Reuven. One person dug this bor, and his name isn't Reuven. His name is Shimon. So let's put one approach. Understanding the Rabbanon. Right, we're trying to now pop out the Rabbanon. I don't understand Shitas Rabbanon. Achar, Achron. So one Shita is Rabbeinu Yonasan. Misalik, Maisa, Rishon. Shita Mukubetzes. Another idea, anyone? Okay. Remember we spoke a long, long time ago. Listen carefully. This is super, super, super important. Mi importante. Spoke about this a long time ago. That bor is different. And that bor is not chayiv for an action, because there's no action. Because the nizik throws himself onto the bor. He doesn't throw himself physically, but the bor doesn't take any action. Not derech halach l'nesek. And you don't own the bor. And you don't own a rishus harapim. And you don't own a hole. Does anyone remember what idea we conjured up, we generated to describe the Machayev Abor? It's a new Machayev, not a Machayev because you own it or you're Poshea, the classic Baba Kama Chayivim, but a third field, the third branch. Remember, we have two branches to the Baba Kama Chayivim. Either Chayev for your Pshia or your Chayev for your Mamon. And yesterday, we talked about what item are you Chayev for if you're a Poshea or you own. Anything or just the Shem Masik? But why is Bar Chayiv? You're really not a Poshea because the Nizik should have watched himself and you don't really own it. What's the third leg? Why is Bar Chayiv? Yitzhiras HaMasik. You created a hazard. Not because you own it, not because you are a Poshea. When you create a public hazard, you're Chayiv. Of course, you're only going to pay if someone gets damaged. You're not going to pay to a public coffer. But in theory, we could have made you pay to the public coffer. You endanger the public? Of course, if no one gets damaged, we're not going to stop levy fines on people. It has to be compensatory. But you're chayev. Let's repeat the Gemara that we quoted to prove this. Daf Mem Tesem and Beis. Not to prove it, but just to capture it. Remember Mem Tesem and Beis? I'll read it. You go through it. V'chi yiftach ish bor, v'chi yichrich bor, v'chi yichrich im al ha-psicha chayev al ha-kriya l'kol shekein. Why does the Torah write v'chi yiftach v'chi yichrich? We can learn that once we know that by opening a dug bor that was covered, your chayev, certainly by digging a bor. Who remembers the language? Ella, Mem Tesem and Beis? Who remembers the language? Al iske kriya u'psicha chayev. Your chayev al iske kriya mem tesem and beis on the bottom. Al iske kriya balo. Your chayev not for the damage. Most people, Azaria and Bava Kama, are chayev for the damage, and we trace it back to the negligence or association by ownership to the owner. Here it's the opposite. Your chayev at the point that she dug the bore. Of course, if no one gets damaged, we're not going to levy fines. But the chayev is iske kriya. It's a completely different timeline. Normally we look, oh, someone got damaged? Who can trace it to? The poshea, the owner. That was our first question in Bava Kama. Here we say, oh, you endanger the public? You're going to be chayev if someone suffers from that. Al iske kriya balo. You're chayev not because of ownership / negligence. You're chayev because you created a public hazard. You created a threatening menace to society. You're not chayev for the ownership or for the pshia. You're chayev because you created the hazard. Can anyone take that and apply it to the Rabbanan Shita? Why should Shimon be chayev? Because the final hazard was created by Shimon. If I take your bomb and I weaponize it with a nuclear warhead, I've created the final weapon. Even if I haven't undone your activity, it's a unique concept for Bor. Because the Machayev of Bor is the one that creates the hazard, I pin all liability on the one that adds the final element, the final threat, the final component to this hazard. And Shimon added the death component to this hazard. And therefore he's chai. So 1 second, absorb it, then we'll ask questions. And we'll think it's nafkaminos. Give me a couple of minutes to explain it, and then we'll think of nafkaminos. It's not because Shimon's digging removes Reuven's digging. It's because Shimon is not the second digger. Shimon endows this item with a new threat and a new capacity that it never had before. And therefore, if I'm asking, who was Yotzer this Mazik? Oh, you know who was Yotzer this Mazik? Shimon, because this Mazik is a killer, not just a damager. They may seem the same. That's why we need Nafkaminas to cleave them. The Mechayev of Shimon is not because I undid Reuven's activity. Misalik Maisa Rishon. The language of the Shittim Mukubetz is quoting about his son. The Mechayev of Shimon is, I'm the ultimate Yotzer Mazik. I created a killer, and this killer, my creation, this Frankenstein, is not something I'm chayev for, even if it doesn't kill, if it does ultimately damages. Who uses the language when we get to questions? Meiri. See the Meiri's language? Daf Yud Amud Aleph. Mikol makom ha'achron chayev. Remember, why are the Rishonim spending so much time on Rabbanon? Because Rabbi doesn't need Henry any attention, because Rabbi makes sense. Hoel u'mikol makom chidesh bo shir misa. Shimon added this, again, I'm using weaponry to try to create imagery for you. He added the nuclear warhead. You added the missile. I put the nuclear warhead. The missile was only going to kill. I put the was only going to damage. I put the nuclear warhead on top. Now it's going to kill people. I created this weapon. I'm the Yotzer Hamasik. It's not a general concept of Silik Maaser Rishon. It's a unique concept to Bar. Because Bar, only Bar could allow such a scenario, says the Miri. Other Machayivim, Pshia, Mamon, well, Mamon is binary, either you own it or you don't. Pshia could be cumulative. I was Poshea, you're Poshea. How can we have a situation where the last guy is the sole Machayiv? Says the Miri, that's a reflection of the unique quality of Bar. Because you're not trying to obligate someone for their pshia, or obligate someone for their ownership, but obligate them because created a hazard, I can possibly, I don't have to, I can possibly call the final person the hazard creator because he added the final component to it. Namely, and I'll say one more thing that'll answer your questions, how do we explain Shitas Rabbanim? Shitas Rabbanim because you're misalik by Sarisha, or because your machadesh, language of the Meiri, din misa, and therefore, you're the Yotzer Hamasik, because Bor is a din in Yotzer Hamasik. This approach is not necessarily a Chiddush in Bor, this is a Chiddush in Bor. Before you ask me your questions, what types of Nafkaminas would I be looking for?
Not making a Shirisa.
Right. X and not Y, Y and not X. So give me two types of cases I want to try to find. One case where you, say like a Lamdan, where you are. Where you are. Come on.
Shirisa.
Say it better. Look at the board. Where you are. No. Use the language of the Rishonim. Misalik Maaser Rishon. Without being Mechadish Misa. Or, an inverse case where... Henry? Sneeze? Mechadish Misa. Without being Misalik Maaser Rishon. They seem very similar to you find cases that split them apart. What happens if I'm someone that, oh, I completely took over this bar because I redug it, but I didn't add anything to it? What happens if I add something to it, but I don't redig it? Those are the cases we want to hunt for to help us prove which Rishon is right. So to speak, not right. In Shitas. When the Rabbanan said Achron L'Shneihem, is it because the second one is redigging the bore and taking over the bore, and there's a concept in general Bava Kamma to think about that the second person now takes over the hezek physically, because you completely neutralize, you completely eliminate any previous actions? Or you're chayev because you add it, but since you endowed the final hazard to this item, you're called the yotzei. Can anyone, before I answer questions, can anyone think of the case? I'll give you an easy one. I'll give you an easy layup. Where there is Misalik Maaser Rishon, but you weren't Mechadesh Din Misa, because it's in the Rishonim. Alex.
If there's a bore that's 8 Tvachim, can you dig the 9th?
Excellent. What if Reuven digs 8 and Shimon digs the 9th? And who's Chai for the Nesek, according to the Rabbanim? So according to the Shittim Mukubat says of Ben Yonasan, what would you say? Who should be chayiv for the Nezikin? Shimon, because Shimon was Misalik Reuven's bor, because he took over the bor and dug 9. When you dig 9, you take over the 8 as yours. But if the chayiv is that you add a component of lethality that didn't exist before, very good, Alex. What do you think of Ben Yonatan would say about chafar bor hei v'hishlim l'ches? Or ches v'hishlim l'tes? What do you think he should say of Ben Yonasan? Like you said. And indeed, he says, let's see the Beni Yonasan. That's the part I skipped in the Beni Yonasan. Beni Yonasan says in the Shittim Mekubetzes, Hachover Bor Tisha, Hu Hadin, remember we said scope always reflects essence. So here, Beni Yonasan stretching the scope of the case. The Chlokas Rebbe and the Rabbanan talked about Hishlam Liyud. The Yonas is saying, Hu Hadin. Always listen to those Hu Hadin. Hu Hadin? I'm not so sure Hu Hadin. I'm not so sure that Miri would agree to Hu Hadin. But Ben Yonasan is pretty sure. Hu Hadin. Not just if you're Mashlim Liyud. Hu Hadin. Lo Asarishon Ela Arba. O Chamisha. Rebbe, what about 6? Chamisha, Tfachim, Uba Sheini, Behosif Tefach. Nistalku, Maiserisha. Shimon has taken over the boar. Has eliminated any impact of the first person. He's now the balabor, and therefore he's solely chayef. I don't believe that Miri would agree with this because you're not mechadish any din misa. So our first nafkamina is ba sheni behishlim lepachos miyud. Okay, now I'll answer your questions, and you'll give me another case where there's siluk ma'aser rishon without any chiddush. Try to think of another case while you're asking me your questions. Another nafkamina. 7 and 8, 7.5 and 8, 8.77. Okay, Alex, very good. Yes, you, Henry. Yes, you had a question now. Okay, that's why I want to get the nafkaminos, because once you see the nafkaminos are called concept splitters. Concepts are very, very subtle. Now I see they're different. Until you find the nafkamina, concepts tend to fold in on themselves. Once you see nafkaminos, they migrate apart. Oh, now I see the difference. Is it dafka bumping up the board to a different category, bumping down the board to a different category? Or is any time I come and physically dig your board in ways that you did? Yes?
I've got a question on your case. The first person digs 5 and then you dig the 6. Surely you still made the board into a more dangerous board now.
Malacha works in quantifications. And the quantification is anything up to 10 is considered the same degree of danger. Okay, obviously, because every once in a while I dug 1 more centimeter. So we always have to draw red lines. We always have to quantify. We always have to have, quantified, a kazayitzvi. Less than a kazayitzvi, I'm not yotzei. More than a kazayitzvi, I'm yotzei. So Chazal said that anything up to 10 is considered the same level of danger and damage. Yes, yes.
What would be the 10 if he dug,
okay, so we'll see. We'll see that Gemara. Very good. You're starting to think about nafkaminas. We'll see the Gemara talks about. Here it's easy because Gemara talks about all these cases. Other, I don't think in Kaa cases. Yes, no.
According to the Meir, it's a Chayish Shemisa. And why is it also Chayish Shemisa?
So, I'll talk about this. I'll get back to it in a moment. Okay, I'll answer your question in a moment. Gabi?
Didn't increase the ability to Nezet by making it into 10?
That's Noam's question. We'll talk about it in a moment. Yes, Ilya.
Rab Sicha. Like, is that also different nafkamina, or is it the same?
We'll see. That's what Yosef was saying. We'll get to it in Mirat Hashem. Now, the question is, once we've given a great svara for the Rabbanon, what's our final step? Now that we've given such a good svara for the Rabbanon, what does Rebbe say? What aspect of what we just said does Rebbe argue with? So, according to Rebbe Yonasan, Rebbe rejects, what does he reject? He possibly rejects the whole notion of Siluk Ma'aser Rishon. That premise that the second digger has completely occupied the board, completely adopted the board, completely been Masalik Ma'aser Rishon, Rebbe doesn't embrace. So the Machlokas, Rebbe and the Rabbanan is, this is how you ping-pong a Machlokas. You put the simple Shita on the side, you explain the less simple Shita, then you circle back and say, well, the Shita we thought was so simple, now it isn't so simple because we were given a great Svara for the less simple Shita. How could the previously simple Shita disagree? So Rebbe probably rejects the whole Siluk Ma'aser Rishon. So Rebbe the Rabbanan, when they came and had this machlokas, whether achron l'shneim or achron only for Misa but not for Nezek, were discussing whether you can envision Siluk Ma'aser Rishon. Rebbe did not agree to Siluk Ma'aser Rishon. According to the Meiri, what can Rebbe say? So either Rebbe will say, how would Rebbe argue? Why would Rebbe make both Reuven and Shimon Chayev on Nezek? Either he says, come on, go fundamental and then go secondary. Either he says fundamentally, that's not fundamental enough. Go one step higher. Question one more assumption that you're making. You think, Rabbanon, that I think that, come on. That's still two, that's the second level. Go one level higher. You think that the Mechayev of Bor is it's Yiras HaMazik, and therefore we can crown the final person as the Yotzer HaMazik. I think that the Mechayev Bor is Pshia, Mamon, and both are Poshea, both own it in the way the Torah gave them ownership. This whole business, Rabbanan, is all premised on viewing Bor as a special Mechayev called Yiras HaMazik. I'm going to pull the carpet out from under you. I don't think Bor is a Mechayev of Yiras HaMazik. Bor is like Shor. Bar is like Eish. Yechayev for Pshia. You're Pshia. You're Pshia. I'm a Pshia. We're all Pshias. This whole business of who is the architect of this Frankenstein. By the way, it's the opposite. Frankenstein was the doctor. Who is the architect of this monster? Who is the Dr. Frankenstein? What is this? A novel from the 19th century? This is Niskimaman. Niskimaman, I only know of one thing. I'll make it easy. It's called Pshia. Okay? Let's talk to me. I'm from Brooklyn. See, use the pshia. Simple terms. Simple terms. Okay? Pshia. Just tell me Pshia. You're Pshia. You're Pshia. You dug. You dug. You didn't close. You didn't close. You're Ochai. The road to the Rabbanan Shita, according to the Miri, is paved with a presumption that Bor is different because it's the Yotzer Masik. Maybe Rebbe doesn't take that road. You hear, Zev? Go back one step. Zev, hurry. Go back one step. Or maybe, now I'll come with your svaros, maybe Rebbe agrees with the Rabbanan. The Mechayev or Bor is the Yotzer HaMazik, but what's the Machlokes? That even though, come on, now finish, even though. But even though, say it backwards, Shimon endowed lethality for Nezikin, they're both considered Yotzer HaMazik. We don't identify the Yotzer HaMazik solely based on the final capacity endowed. Rabbanan say, since you endowed lethality, you're considered, right? If I have a, again, I hate to use these terms, but I want to make it clear to you. I mean, people are losing their life, people lost their life with bombs, you know. But if I have a bomb that's capable of killing and it does damage, is the damage considered included in the killing? So I endowed lethality to this boar, and in the end it turned out a short just got damaged. Who created that hazard? So Rabbanan say, since I endowed the final capacity, I weaponized it, I gave it its final juice, its final lethality, I'm considered the Dr. Frankenstein of this hazard, because I gave it its final sabers, its final superpowers, whatever it is. Whereas Rabbi says, you know what, we can split between Misa and Mamun. I can say that you're the Yotzer HaMazik for Misa, whereas for Mamon, Reuven was the Yotzer HaMazik because he created the test. Now we have to ask that. If we have time, we want to dig deeper into that. Why would you split Misa for Mamon in terms of attribution? Why would you attribute Yotzer HaMazik to only the final person, Aaron, or you'd attribute Yotzer HaMazik to everyone? But in terms of creating beachheads for this Machlokas, now we understand where this Machlokas is heading. According to Rabbeinu Yonasan, Rabbeinu was speaking almost physically. You've eliminated the first person. That's like you dug the entire bore. So Rebbe basically rejects the whole premise. Whereas according to the Meiri, the final endower is called the Yotzer HaMazik. Rebbe has two choices. He says, I'm not a Yotzer HaMazik, man. In which case, we may have found the Machlokas Tanayim, whether the Mechayev HaBor is Pshiyah or Yotzer HaMazik. The Machlokas is Rebbe the Rabbanan. Rabbanan felt the Mechayev is Yotzer HaMazik and therefore reached a conclusion that Achar on the Nezikin. Whereas Rebbe felt the Mechayev is Pshiyah and therefore was not willing to attribute sole responsibility for Nezikin to the Achron. Again, Tanaim speak in codes, we have to decode what their question is. So the next time someone stops you on the street in South Africa and asks you, the machlokes, whether Bor is a machayev for Pshi or Yotzer HaMazik, he's a machlokes, Rebbe, the Rabbanan, Daf Nanalev, Daf Yud, whether you say Achar Achron, Linezik. Rebbe felt it's Pshiyah. There's no way to spotlight the last person. The Rabbanan felt it's Yotzer HaMazik, and in theory, you could spotlight the last person. You don't have to, but the only way to spotlight the last person, let's say like a Ben Yonasan, is to go down the route of Yotzer HaMazik. Okay. Who can give me another case where there is Siluk Maisa Rishon, but there is no Chiddush Misa? Not 6 to 7 or 7 to 8, but give me another case.
7 to 6.
Yep. Yes?
Let's say it's not a four in the ground. Let's say it's just an object.
Okay, that's a little too fancy for my taste. Give me something simple. Yehuda. Okay, still too fancy for Mike's situation. Give me a simple, dimple case. Yes, Ari.
10 to 20.
Very good, Ari. What happens if Reuven does 10 and Shimon does another 10? So in theory, what would Rabbeinu Yonasan say? Who's Chayiv according to the Rabbanan? Who should be Chayiv according to the Rabbanan? Shimon. Because what would we apply? What concept would we apply to Shimon? Siluk Maisa Rishon. Whereas in theory, what should the Miri say? They're both chayiv, because the whole special liability for the second one, your Mechadesh Misa, doesn't apply here, because the second one was the Mechadesh Misa, because the first bore had Misa capacity. So the next step to mean is, not 9 to 10 or 6 to 7, what about 10 to 20? What about if Reuven takes another 10? Reuven had 10, and Shimon takes another 10. So according to Rabbeinu Yonasan, again, not Rebbe, what would the Rabbanan say? The Rabbanan would normally tag the last guy. The Rabbanan would normally pin on the last guy, Acha Achron. Would they still tag the last guy in this case? Where the first guy did 10 and the last guy did 10? After all, this guy did much more. Avi Kohn did much more. He's much worser than the guy who only added a tefach because he dug 10 tefachim. So I would expect that according to Rabbeinu Yonasan, you'd still tag it on the last guy because he was Masalik Maisa Rishon. Whereas I would expect that according to Miri, you should not tag it on the last guy exclusively because he wasn't Mechadish Misa. You were, the Rabbanim would default back to Rebbe in this case. Oh, here we agree with you. There's no Chiddush Misa. You're not the Frankenstein. Even the first guy is called the Death Frankenstein because he gave a death capacity. Second guy didn't do that. In theory, I could reach a case where the second guy is completely Pater. Right? You maybe want to exonerate the second guy entirely. That's the other extreme. The Shita that doesn't come up. The problem with this is that unlike 6 to 7, the Gemara talks about this. So let's see Daf Nun Aleph and Aleph. I didn't give you that many Makaras because I know we had limited time yesterday, but let's see Daf Nun Aleph and Aleph. We're going to learn a lot of Gemara today. What makes this sugya so nice is that all the cases are discussed in the Gemara. Okay? Daf Nun Aleph, Amad Aleph. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Bottom of the page. Echad HaChofer Bar Asara. Uva'achar V'Hishlima L'Chaf. Let me just find the, if I want to read any more Gemara with you. Which Gemara do I want to read with you? Okay, we'll just read this Gemara. Okay. Echad achofer bar asar, uva'achar shlimi l'chaf. Uva'achar shlimi l'shloshim, kulam chayafim. The Gemara wants to say, now I'm skipping a few lines, nun aleph from the base, lema, harebi harabanan. Both the previous brisos that we had in the Rabbanan that you tagged the last guy and this strange brisa that everyone's chayiv is the Rabbanan. Adkan, here's our key line. Lo kami Rabbanan achron chayiv. When the Rabbanan tagged the last guy, Shimon elheicha delavid kama shir misa. Where the first guy didn't do shir misa, no, which means the second guy was mechadish misa. It sounds a lot Miri-like, right? Mechadish shir misa. Avolheicha delavid kama shir misa. Afilu Rabbanan Moda de Kula Chayavin. Oh my goodness. Rav Zvid sounds a lot like whom? Like the Meiri or like the Rebbe Yonasan? The Rabbanan's tagging the last guy fails where the first guy did 10 because the second guy and the third guy didn't add anything. According to Rebbe Yonasan, how would you explain this Gemara? After all, guy number two was Masalik guy number one, and guy number three was Masalik guy number two or number one. And if the whole tagging of the last guy, according to Rabbanan, is based on the fact that subsequent people were Masalik Maisa Rishon, we should extend the Rabbanan's exclusive tagging of the last guy even by 10, 20, and 30, not just by 9 and 10. Interesting question. Huh? This is why the Miri learned like he learned. Anyone have a Svara? Somehow I have to come up with a svara to eliminate, to disqualify this concept of silik maisa rishon when it's from 10 to 20 to 30. It's not considered silik maisa rishon. Because evidently, I'll start, you'll finish. Silik maisa rishon is not just physically digging out a hole that someone else dug before you, but it's... Excuse me, I'll just add 9 to 10 or 6 to 7. Right? Yeah.
Their Misa isn't like finished.
Okay.
So once they've dug full 10, you're like adding to a.
Very good. Very, very good. I'll use a fancy word just to capture it, but you're right. Silik Misa Rishon doesn't mean that guy 2 physically removes guy 1, but it's called augmentation. Incrementation. If I'm augmenting or incrementing, then I'm removing anything you've done before. But what happens when we're at a point when augmentation is irrelevant? At what point does augmentation become irrelevant? After 10. I don't like it either, Yisha. I'm an eerie man in this segment. But this is not in elections. This is what at each Rishon. Rebbe Yonasan is a pretty smart Rishon. Pretty smart cookie. He was a Frenchie. Everyone started with those Frenchies. What did he do when he read this Gemara? Now, there are other ways for him to say. He argues in Rav Zvid. There are other ways to read the Gemara. But as everyone see, this is so important what I'm about to say. The logical symmetry between the two nafgaminos that we've spoken about. They're separate nafgaminos, but they're the same logically. 6 to 7 is the same logically in theory as 10 to 20. Because in either case, on the surface, there is no chidush misa, but there is silik maisa rishon. We have to get out of it for the Ben Yonasan. Learn to cluster nafgaminos in sugyas. Otherwise, you just have unwieldy amounts of nafgaminos, 500 nafgaminos. Learn to say, this is a category of nafka minos. This is a category of nafka minos. One category of nafka minos is augmentation or silik maisa rishon, pick your choice, without being mechadish any new lethality. We're going to now flip it around and try to find cases where you've added lethality without changing the first person's activity. We'll see that in a moment. Okay? These are the two nafka minos to our question. Guys, the question we're discussing today is not the Machlokas Rebbe and the Rabbanan. The question we're discussing is what's the Mechayev Bor, and whether this is part of the Machlokas Rebbe and the Rabbanan. And according to the Miri, probably was. And according to Beni Harasani, not necessarily was. But that's why this sugi is such an important conceptualization, because it's a portal into the question, is Bor such a unique Mechayev that can tolerate this seemingly strange shita of tagging the last person in a way that you wouldn't for sure, in a way that you wouldn't for Eish. You distribute the liability equitably, according to all the people that were poshea or all the people that owned it. But because Bor is a Yotzer HaMazik, you tag the last person because he's the Dr. Frankenstein. He's the mass murderer. He's the engineer. He's the one that created lethality. He created the hazard. Therefore, you tag him solely. Can anyone think of a reverse nafka mina, where you were Mechadesh Misa without being Mesalik Maisa Rishon? Israel. Very good. Did you see the Gemara? Very good. Excellent. Let's continue the Gemara Nunala from a base, because the Gemara continues, so all we have to do is follow the chain of the Gemara. Where it says as follows. Let's read a little bit more. I'm a Rava. So I'm skipping a couple lines down. Let's hear what Rava thought. And tell me whether I'll be Pashtas, Rava's a Meiri person or a Beni Yonason person. I'm a Rava. This is line 15, 3, 6, 9, 12, 13, 14. Middle of the line begins with the word Lemisa Nunala from a base. I'm a Rava. Hiniach Tefach. Al pi habor v'hishlima li'asara. What happens if instead of digging the tenth, Reuven digs nine, and Shimon adds a brick of one tefach to the top of the bor? As they're all sides. So that means when the animal comes, if it trips over the brick, it's not going to fall on the tenth. Hiniach even agave bor. What case are we looking at, guys, in Lamedisha terms? This is a case of use Rishonim's language. Chidush Misa. Say it loud. Without Silik Maisa Risha. I didn't dig your depth. Oh, you would have dug it anyway. It's like you dug. I added a brick. What would we expect the Meiri to say according to Rabbanan? According to Meiri, would we tag the last one?
Yeah.
Why would we tag the last one? Because Chidush Misa. According to Rabbeinu Yonasan, would we expect to tag the last one? No, because it's no Silik Maisa Risha. What does Rava say? Again, like the Meiri. Amar Rava, Rava says, Himiach Even Al Pi Abor, Vishlim Ol Yasara, Banu Lemachlokis, Rebbe Rabbanan. Pshita. Why is Rabbi telling you this? Rabbi answers, maybe this whole tagging of the last one is only Lamata, not Lamala. How would Rabbeinu Yonasan answer this question? Why are we tagging the last guy when he just put a stone on top? After all, he wasn't Masalik Maisa Risha. Now it's getting a little tough for Rabbeinu Yonasan. Evidently, Rabbeinu Yonasan would have to hold. Why are we tagging the last guy? Banal Machlok is Rabbi the Rabbanan. Namely, Rabbi felt the Rabbanan would also tag the last guy in this case. You don't like it, huh? I don't like it either. What do you have to say?
Maybe that you're still being a Salik Masarisha.
Yeah. This. Somehow, by adding the brick to the top of the bor, your interest is to build a height of 10 that can create a fall of 10 tapachai. You are utilizing the 9th Tvachim that Reuven already dug to create a fall from a height of 10. And therefore, you're Masalik Maisa Rishon, because it's like you redug the 9. I don't like this so much. I can easier fit Rabbeinu Yonasan into Reb Zvid than to fit him into Rav. Reb Zvid talked about 10 to 20, 20 to 30. And Reb Zvid said that in that case, you wouldn't be Chayev, and you wouldn't tag the last guy, and we distributed equally. And we said, according to Rabbeinu Yonasan, after all the Silik Maisa Rishon, why don't you tag the last guy by 10 to 20, 20 to 30, same way you tag him 9 to 10? We give an answer. Well, it's not really Silik Maisa Rishon, because Silik isn't just redigging. Silik is augmentation. And 10 to 20 is no augmentation or weaponization or escalation. But here, to say that, Rabbi says the reverse case. Rabbi Zvid says that 10 to 20, the Rabbanan would not tag the last guy. Rava says that adding a stone to the top would tag the last guy. How would we explain tagging the last guy according to Rav Yonasan, that tagging the last guy is based on Silik Maisa Rishon? So Rav is probably the hardest sheet in Shas to make sense according to Rav Yonasan. But I want you to see that the flow of the Gemara until now, we'll see the final part of the Gemara, the flow of the Gemara until now is very, very much like Rav Meiri, very much not like Rav Yonasan. Because in the Gemara we have inverse cases. We have one case where there is seemingly Siluk and there's no Chidush Misa. And yet, even though there's Siluk, we don't tag the last guy, 10 to 20, 20 to 30, where the Gemara says Rabbanan would agree. Rabbanan would concede to Rebbe that we don't tag the last guy explicitly, we distribute it equally. And then we have a reverse case where you have Chidush Misa without Siluk, and we do tag the last guy exclusively according to the Rabbanan, according to Rabba. So it seems like we have caught the Rebbe Yonasan in a bind. He says it's all about Siluk. We have a case where there's no Siluk, and you still tag the last guy, adding a brick. And a case where there is Siluk, and you don't tag the last guy. You tag them all equally, 10 to 20, 20 to 30, where we think they're Siluk. So we can answer both questions, but it sounds like the Miri is right in this. The Pashas of the Sugya is like the Miri, that the Mechayev of the last guy, according to Rabban, is Chidash Misa, Henry. That's why 10 to 20, we don't tag the last guy exclusively according to Rabid. Adding a brick, 9 to 10, we do tag the last guy, even though there's no Siluk Maisa Rishon, because you added the Misa component. That's why the Miri came to his conclusion, based on the fact that Boris Yitzhira Simonsi. Yes?
Can we say that they both fire if you go from 10 to 20? Then we still got a problem with
you? No. If they go 10 to 20, they're both high. Then when we don't apply their butter, whatever reason was underlying the exclusive tagging of the last guy doesn't apply here. Normally, why do we tag the last guy according to a butter exclusively? Because he created Misa. 10 to 20, he didn't create Misa. So we tag him. The Rizin said that's the exceptional case. That's the case we don't tag the last guy, even though a butter would agree. Okay? One more case in the Gemara. This case is easier. I should have read it first, but I didn't want to read out of sequence, especially since you didn't see the Gemara. Let's see, the only case where you can't really ask a question on any Rishon, because the Gemara just asks the question and doesn't answer it. Right before the two dots, the Gemara says as follows, by Rava. I'm absolutely convinced that when Rava taught his Talmidim this, he was having the same conversation we're having today. Everyone in the room knew Shas well enough, he didn't have to have the conversation. We're saying he just asked the questions and everyone created the association. What happens? Tom Tefach, the Silek Avanav Mahu. What happens if Reuven digs 9 and Shimon digs 10? And then Shimon fills in 10, returns it back to 9. Who's chayav for nezikin? Reuven digs 9. Shimon has a 10. Says, "Oh, I don't want to be such a bad guy. I'm afraid of Avi Cohen. What's he going to say about me?" So he comes in and fills in his 10 tefach. And then an animal gets damaged. Where the Rabbanan still tagged the last guy. What would the Miri say? Come on. No. Shimon dug the 10th and then eliminated his 10 and returned it back to its original hazardliness. What would you say? Would the last guy be chayav exclusively?
No.
No. What would the Ben Yonason say? Yes. Because what would we say about Mr. Second, Shimon? He is someone who is Masalik Maisa Rishon. When Rava asked his Talmidim this question, he may have been asking his Talmidim, who was right, Rav Yonasan and the Miri. In theory, when Rava came to the base matters, this was his question, because they knew Shah so well, they talked in code. They have to say these svaras, and if they're right, like we've shown them right. He said, Talmidim, what happens if there's a case of Shimon digging the 10th? Oh, removing Shimon, removing Reuben, but then filling it up and taking away this new endowment. What was the engine driving the exclusive tagging of the Rabbanan? Why did the Rabbanan exclusively tag Shimon when he digs it from 9 to 10? Is it because he adds some new lethality? Here, Shimon took away the lethality he added. Is it because he adopts the bar by redigging it? Here, he adopts the bar by redigging it. What happens? Now it's his bar if he fills it up with an extra tefach. Again, the problem with Rava is, and in the same Rava who told us this question, also said that if you add a brick on the top of the bar, you're chayiv, which makes it sound a lot like the Miri. So that's the problem I have in the sugya. How could Rav on the one hand ask a question that makes it sound like he's asking Meiri or Ben Yonasan, and then on the same breath say, but by the way, if you put a brick on top of the boar, then we definitely tag the last guy. That sounds a lot like the Meiri, because there's no Silik Maiserishin, you put a brick on top of the boar. Unless, as the Yishai say, even putting a brick on top of the boar is adopting. And what's the word? Appropriating the boar by putting the brick there. So the fact that Rav asked this question makes me really, really happy. And conceptually and methodologically, when you see questions in the Gemara, try to say maybe the Tanaim with Amoraim who posed those questions were really asking the Lumbus that we're discussing. This is a perfect test case. Let's listen to the language. 1 second. Boy, Rava, Tamtev, Achsilik, Abadavmo. Me, I'm reading. Look at the Gemara. Just look, please look at the Gemara for a second before I answer your question. Boy, Rava, 4 lines before the 2 dots. Listen to the language. Boy, Rava, Tamtev, Achsilik, Abadavmo. Me, I'm reading. My David Shakli. Your new component that you added, you removed. Oh, Dilma, ooh, this is interesting. Maybe, Nistalku Maiserishon. What does that sound like? Danny Yonasan. And there is Silik Maiserishon, even though later you removed it, because you now appropriated the borders, you'd be Chayavir. And of course, Rava says, take him. So I'm thrilled with this Gemara, and I'm 9,000% convinced that was Rava's question when he asked his question to the Talmidim. What's the Svara underlying the Rabbanim? Chidush Misa or Siluk Maisa Rishon? What happens in a case where there is Siluk, but there's no Chidush, because you've undone the Chidush? You added Misa, but you took away the Misa. But you have been Masali, because you dug the tenth, and you've now appropriated the boar. So I'm thrilled to high heaven that this is Rava's question. And the language, I mean, this is where the Ben Yonasan got his language. The Meiri got his language in the beginning of the Gemara, Reb Zvid. Remember, Zvid said 10 to 20, 20 to 30, you haven't added Misa, therefore we can't tag the last guy exclusively, we have to distribute it equitably to everyone. The Ben Yonasan got his language from Rava's question. I'm just having a hard time making sense, Yishai, of Rava on the one hand asking a question which leaves this machlokas open, but yet reaching a conclusion that by putting a stone on top, you're chayiv, even though there's no Siluk Maisa Rishon, all you have is Chiddush Misa. That's what makes me a little queasy with Rava. But I'd have to say something like Isha, that Rava was still open to the notion that by putting a brick on top, hiniach evan al gabi abor, you're still appropriating the boar, and you're creating a new Siluk Maaser Rishon, even though you're not physically redigging the first person's death. So what's your name?
I'm Benji.
Benji. Okay. So this seems to be the question of Rebbe and the Rabbana. I'll repeat the question. We have a little bit more time, so I'll go back and see some of the teasing points that I referred to earlier. Okay, let's start again. The Mishnah talks about partial responsibility, creating partial negligence, creating full liability. And anyone says, well, what type of case could that be? So the first option, the Gemara, we'll see the second option next week in Meretz Hashem, is where Reuven digs 9 and Shimon digs the 10th. According to Rebbe, they split the Nezikin. Reuven obviously doesn't pay for Misa, Shimon pays for Misa because he dug 9, but they split the liability for damage. Rebbe makes perfect sense. Why shouldn't they split the liability for damage? Had Shimon ever arrived, Reuven would be high. Now that Shimon arrived and dug a 10th, why should he exonerate Reuven from the damages? He should exonerate Reuven from the Misa because Reuven is not a chayv in the Misa. But why should he exonerate Reuven from the Nezikin? Abortas was fully capable of creating a Nezikin. Had Shimon ever arrived, Reuven would pay for the Nezikin exclusively. Why should Shimon's extra tepach exonerate Reuven from the Nezikin? So we saw the Rishonim come up with two different svaras. And they both come from the language of the Gemara and Alpha and Ches. One svar is a Beit Yonasan. By digging the bar, it's now your bar. You've dug it, you own it, you're poshe on it, you have to watch it, you take ownership of it. You're Masalik Maiserishon. It's now Shimon's bar, not Reuven's bar. Second approach is, you're not Masalik Maiserishon. You've just added a component, but the idiosyncratic, the dynamics of bar is that we peg the chiyuvim on the person that's called the Yotzer Amazim, not the owner, not the poshe. And you are Yotzer, this final weapon. You're the Yotzer, this final weapon, because you endowed it with its final lethality. And therefore, you're the Yotzer Amazim according to Rabbanim. And to help prove the case, we want to look for two different types of nafka minos. Cases of Yotzer Hamazik, Chidush Misa without Siluk Maisa Rishon, or Siluk Rishon that Yotzer and Misa. So, Siluk without Yotzer is a case of 5 to 6. You're Masalik Maisa Rishon, you didn't add anything. And in theory, 10 to 20. The problem with 10 to 20 is that the Gemara of Zvidali says that it is an exception. The 10 to 20, the Rabbanim will concede. That sounds a lot like the Meiri. The reason the Rabbanim are Machai from 9 to 10 is because of Chiddush. From 10 to 20, there's no Chiddush, and therefore they would concede. How would the Ben Yonasan explain Reb Zvid claiming that 10 to 20 is a place that Chachamim would concede? Then we found reverse Nafkaminas. Not where you're Masalik without Chiddush, but where you're Mechadesh without being Masalik. One case of Mechadesh without being Masalik is where you put the Evan. So you added Misa without being Masalik. In that case, Rava felt the Rabbanim would still tag the last one. That sounds like the mirror. You're Mechadesh Misa, even though you're not Masalik Maisa Rishon, you're Chayef. The final case we saw was a case where it seems to be Silik without Chidash, and Rava leaves it as an open-ended question. Will you dig a tenth, and then you fill in the tenth Tepach that you dug. So you weren't Mechadesh anything in the sum total, you didn't create any lethality, but you're Masalik Maisa Rishon, Rava leaves as an open-ended question. I'd be very happy if that were all the Gemara would say. The Gemara only quoted Rava's case as an open-ended question. Rava would be asking his Talmidim effectively, what is the logic behind the Rabbanan's exclusive tagging of the last person, Achar Achron L'Nezikin? What's the Svara? Here's a case of Siluk. You dug 10, you've taken over the boar, but no Chiddush, because whatever Chiddush you granted, you've now removed. Obviously, you can tease different ways to understand these Svaras. That's the structure of this sugya. And of course, it all filters back to the following question. And now I'm going to summarize before I answer your question. Let's look at the board, everyone. Major, major board. Table. Good chazara, good time for chazara. If you didn't follow the entire shiur, good chance to wake up and get back into it right now. What is the mechayev of board? Mammon. When I say mammon, you own it, and therefore you're a poshea, mammon slash pshia,
something in that realm,
or yitziras hamasik. Just to set the table again, which gemara makes it sound like yitziras hamasik? Memtes amud beis, iske, kriya, ba, lo. Which gemara makes it sound like you own it? Remembers? Shnei Devarim Einam Bershuso Shel Adam. Anyone remember that? Okay, let's all take a look together. Okay, and we saw the Gemara together. Right. I want to take a look at Chavtes and Medbeis. Middle of the page. Who remembers Boris cousin? Who's Boris cousin? Chavetz Bepesach. Two items in halacha that on the face of it, you shouldn't own. You shouldn't own a boar for two reasons. One, remember, is because it's a hole. B, because it's just rabim, at least according to Rabbi Kiva. And what else should you not own in theory? Chametz. Why should you not own chametz? It's asur banan. Halacha does not allow ownership on objects without utility, because utility is the core of ownership. You can't own something if you can't use it. Yet, Amar Rabbi Yishmael, middle of the page, Chavtes Amid Beis, V'lazim Shem Rabbi Yishmael, Shnei Devarim Einam B'shusa Shel Adam, V'asan HaKasav Ki'ilu Hein B'shusa. Right? Otherwise, if you don't own chametz, then what iser could you never violate, fundamentally? What iser would you never violate if you can't own chametz? By Rabbi Matzah. How can every Rabbi Matzah? It's not my chametz. It's a circular logic. If I don't own it, then I'm not chayiv. Not chayiv. How can the Torah ever legislate against owning chametz if chametz has no utility and things that don't have utility in halacha you don't own? So Rabbi Shmuel may have been saying the Torah created ownership against the normal paradigm. The normal paradigm is utility equals ownership. Lack of utility dissolves ownership. Here, there's ownership without utility. Chametz b'Pesach is an outlier. Not only is chametz b'Pesach an ownership outlier, debunking or deviating from the normal paradigm, but also more. Normally, Hillel, you have to own something, and you can't own anything in Rishus HaRabim. Here it's a nothing, and it's in Rishus HaRabim, and yet you own it. Despite the normal patterns of ownership, the Torah created ownership for Bor. Shnei Devarim Einam B'Shusa Shel Adam V'Yasa Nakosav Ki'ilu Hein B'Shusa V'Elu Hein Bor B'Shusa HaRabim V'Chamez Mishay Shal Sulamayla. So everyone should store away if you're back for Pesach and you're Rebbe in Yeshua, the rabbi in Yeshua, the Rebbe in your high school says, oh, you're back from yeshiva, maybe come and give a shir. Or for Pesach, say, okay, I'm coming giving a shir on bor. Everyone's looking at you, what does that mean? Why are you giving a shir on bor? Because I hold like Rebbe Yishmael. It's named from Einem B'Shusa Shel Adam, bor, v'chametz v'Pesach. So it's a Pesach topic. Pseudo bilus, virtual bilus. So one Gemara makes a sound like the Machayev of bor is a tira samazik, the Gemara in Chavtasim in Beis, Asan Hakasov Ke'ilu Hein Bershusa. Or if you want to go back to the Lashon HaPasuk, what language in the Pasuk makes it sound like the Mechayev is on the Yetzira? Bechei Yichra. I already have the word Bechei Yiftach. I can intuit Ki Yichra, if you're Chayev for the Psicha, you should be Chayev for the Kriya.
Why did the Torah write v'chayichre after writing v'chayiftach? Aliske kriya. They tell you you're chayiv for the kriya. Torah doesn't tell you you're chayiv when the animal is born. You're not chayiv when the ish is born. You're chayiv for the event of the damage. Shematzah kotzim. That moment that the fire finds thistles. The moment that the animal's teeth finds the food. Ki yaver ish sadro bir b'steacher. The Torah always describes the point of damage. Umatzah kotzim. V'nagach, v'nagach, negifa, neshicha, neshicha. Whereas before, the Torah writes about the creation, v'chiyichra. And it doesn't have to write about the creation because it wrote v'chiyiftach. And I can extrapolate kiyichra from kiyiftach. Im ala psicha chayiv ala kriya lakoshkin, according to Shas that I hold onjim amamenotim. Whereas which language in the Torah may make us sound like the Gemara Chavtas Mebeis, who remembers? Baal Habor Yishalem. There's a Baal Habor. What do you mean, Baal Habor? It's a hole in the ground. She's a Torah calls you a Baal Habor. See the Torah playing both sides? Of course, they're both true, because in Hashem's world, they're both true. We have to decide which one we operate with. But Hashem programmed both paradigms in. Look, in theory, if you want to learn Bava Kama and Bor the rest of your life, you can find maybe some Bors that you're chayiv for the Yetzirah and some Bors that you're chayiv for the Bailos. Doesn't have to be one. The Torah could create multiple paradigms of even chayiv and Bor. What are the nafkaminos? So nafkamina number one, we saw the Rashba. The Rashba says, Lefi ha-mechilta, ein onshin min hadin, bibor. Normally you can be onish min hadin, like the Bavli. But by bor, you can't be onish min hadin. And that's why the Mechilta argued with the Shas and said, no, you know the reason the Torah writes v'chayichra? Not to teach me this whole business. The Torah writes kiyichra because I can't extrapolate kriya from sikh. Because bor is such a chedesh that I can't extrapolate because it's a whole different mechayich. Namely, it sounds in the Rashba as a new chiyiv called Yetzirah Samasim. This is new. This is old. Nafkamina number two. We saw this. This is all Chazara. Wulama bor tes pater mimisa. Why are you pater if an animal gets killed in a bor tes? Remembers what we said? Okay, say it a little better. Either we say that, sharpen it.
That, or that you shouldn't be able to kill an animal.
Okay, that's the second approach. But the first approach, Rashi said, we know that it didn't kill him. Let's see Rashi, Gimel Min Aleph. Let's do Chazara. Rashi, first shot, Gimel Min Aleph. Then a bor tes, we say, last couple of words in Rashi, Dibra Maschil V'Zav L'Nezikin, last couple of words in Rashi, Amar Abanan B'Bor Tish Apater, why is Bor Tish Apater? Delo Machmas Bor Mace. The bor didn't kill the animal, period. Eitan is saying, no, even if scientifically we can prove that a bor tes killed the animal, since it doesn't
usually do
that. Usually, therefore it's not considered a mazik for that. Because the whole mechayev a bor is not what happened, but what type of mazik it is, and this isn't considered. Who said that? Remember? Look at Tosas Yidam and Aleph. Everyone look at Tosas Yidam and Aleph. Maybe we'll read it again inside next week. Eliyeh Shlomar, Lechacha, Tosas, third Tosas, Yerim and Aleph. Masha'en came bebor, de pachos miyut pater, mimisa, kivan etan dein regilus, lahamas pachos miyut. Not that, like Rashi says, lo machmas habor meis, but ain't regilus. Even if we can prove scientifically that this bor tes killed this animal, since a bor tes doesn't typically kill animals, it's not a bor. Lemisa, you haven't created a death mazik, you're not chayiv for death, you're only chayiv for nezikin. So the second nafkamina is why? Not if, but why a bor tes is pater from nezik? Is it pater from misa because it didn't die, or it's pater from misa because it doesn't normally kill? What's the nafkamina of this nafkamina? Who remembers the case? What happens if there's a less than 10 tefach bor that actually did kill? What's the case of a less than 10 tefach bor that actually did kill?
Fell straight down,
and even though the bor is only 6, it fell at an impact of 4 because the height of the animal's torso creates an impact of 4 to its bones. the Gemara makes it sound like you'd be chayiv, because the only reason a less than 10 tevach bor is part of it because it didn't die from the boar, but here it died because there's a cumulative impact of 10, 6 of the boar, 4 of the animal. The Rashba disagrees. Let's review the Gemara. Now we're getting back to Daf Nun Aleph from the base. The Gemara Nun Aleph from the base, if you remember, says, Beshita Nami Sagya, the last 10 words before the Mishnah, Nun Aleph from an Aleph, Beshita Nami Sagya. If the animal's height, right, let's say here's the animal standing on the boar, and the animal's height, with the, again, the impact isn't on the flesh, the impact is on the spine. So the height of the animal is 4. So when the animal falls in, its bones, its spine, its head, is falling from a height of 4 and then into 6. So it's a cumulative impact of 10 tabach of, it's all gravity, so it's a cumulative impact of 10 tabach of gravity. So Beshita Nami Sagya, Amri Masnisan, the Mishnah that says that your pater or nabor pachas miyud for misa de ignidar libor. The simple reading is where the animal fell upside down. It slipped and fell upside down, so it fell on its spine. So the space between the belly and the spine, those 4 tvachim, didn't add to the impact of the gravity. So it only fell with a force of 6 tvachim, and that's where your pater. But indeed, if the animal fell straight down, and there was a cumulative impact of 10 tvachim of gravity, you'd be chayiv, it sounds like, from the Gemara, because the only reason you're patur in a boar to ask, because this boar didn't kill, here the boar killed, because it's the 6 plus the 4. Who argues? Who says that even if the animal fell straight in, you'd be patur? Because most animals, because some animals will fall backwards and you won't be chayiv. Who says? Remember the Rashba. The Rashba says that since there are some animals that won't be killed by this boar, then the animals that fall backwards, even animals that fall forwards, since some animals will fall backwards, this is not a boar that can kill all animals, and therefore even if the animal fell forward, there's an impact of 10. And even though we know scientifically this boar killed the animal, we still patur you because you haven't created a death trap. So the question is, lama boar tas patur mimisa? Is it because Rashi lo machmas habor, Rashi daf gimel amud aleph, or ein regilus bibor, Tosfos daf yud amud aleph? The nafkamina as to why your pater in a bor pachas mitas if it dies is, what happens if machmas habor makes? What happens if a pachas mitas, you know the bor killed? That's the case of an aleph from an aleph, where the animal falls straight in. The Gemara makes it sound like straight falls your chayiv, backward falls your pater. The Rashba says no, since you'd be pater in backward falls, because this isn't a bor that can kill backward falling animals, your pater even falls frontward, because this isn't a bor that kills any animal that falls in. So that's a nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos. Machlok is between the simple reading of the Gemara and the Rashba. So this is all old stuff. Everything on the board here, this is all old stuff. The Rashba and Lama Bor. Now we're adding to our table, we're adding a third question. The third question is Bor normal or is Bor Yotzer Masik? Nafkamina number 3 is Lama L'Rabbanan. Well, let's start. Either. Machlokes, Rebbe, Rabban. Rebbe says, Achar, Shnehem, Linazikin. So maybe Rebbe was just missed the good old normal Boris of Shia. The Rabbanan says, Achar, Acharon, Linazik, Lishnehem. Is this because, everyone look at the table. Now I'm putting it together. Is this because the Rabbanan are a Yetziras HaMazik Shita? Who held that? Who's the red? Who's this red line? Who should I fill in? They're Yetziras HaMazik Shita? Meiri. Namely, according to the Meiri, it's highly likely that this Machlokas is this Machlokas. Rebbe held it's a normal Machayev, and he distributed all liability equitably. Rabbanan held the Siras HaMazik, and we pinned the last guy as the Frankenstein. Whereas, Ben Yonah says, I'm not so fast. I have a way to explain the Rabbanan in a way that completely severs it from this whole thing. Rabbanan Shita has nothing to do with how you understand Bor. You can understand Bor this way, you can understand Bor that way. You know why the last guy's Chayev? Give me the language. So that my solution. And the Ravidios and breaks us away. So we now have 3 potential nafkaminas. Number 1, should you say Anshim Minadil? Number 2,
Why is Boratest Sprata Ramisa? Nafkamina would be, what if a Boratest actually kills because of the added gravity from the fall behind the torso? Number three is this the Machlokas Rebbe in the Rabbah? Flipping today's question. Today we dealt with this, now I'm hooking this up to our day. Today we went to Nara. We went to today's boxers, today's day. What Shitas Rabbanan? Is Shitas Rabbanan Siluk or Shitas Rabbanan Chidush? Nafkamina, number one is Siluk B'li Chidush. One would be 5 to 6. 2 would be 10 to 20. 3 would be 9 to 10. Back to 9. That's the case of Rabbah. You dig the 10, then you take it away. These are three cases of Siluk without Chidush. Nafkamina, Aleph, Beis, Gimel. Nafkamina number 2, Chidush B'li Siluk. What would be a case of Chidush B'li Siluk? Epic. You put an epic on that. Let's go with this case. I'm now taking this question in the Rabbanah. What would Rebbe say? So would Rebbe say no Siluk? Or would Rebbe say, I don't care about Chidush because Bor has nothing to do with Chidush? Rebbe would say, I don't care about that. I'm taking this little box right here, this conversation between Rebbe and the Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon say, oh, we care about who's the Mechadish because the Mechadish of Bor is Yetzir HaSamazik. And Rebbe says, I don't care. I'm taking this and putting it back into our big meta table of war. Taking this little part of our discussion, this is today's shir, taking this part of today's shir, and putting it back into our big, big meta puzzle of war. That one of the questions where the war is normal, Yotzer Mazik, may have been Rebbe Rabban. Rabban said war is not normal, it's Yotzer Mazik, and therefore I could come to a big finish that whoever endows the final component, he's the Yotzer Mazik and he's high. And Rebbe says, I don't care. So according to the Miri, Rabbanan, Rav Chayiv for Bor for Yotzer Mazik, the Rebbe says, I don't care, and that's why it is should be liability. We are, in the beginning of next year, we're going to take a look at just 4 and 5 that are simple enough to read. One is the Torah Kalim. Why is Kalim Pater and Bor? And what types of Kalim is Pater and Bor? Two is the Torah Karpa. They're short, but since they come up on Daf Yud, and this is really our lesson counter with Bor, more or less, I want to make sure at least this is going to be our final table, pending, going deep, deep, deep into the fifth paragraph of the deep one. Okay, this is our trail. Rashba, Bar Pachas Miyud Chai Misar Nat, Afnan Aleph, Rabbi Rabbanan, 2 days in the Nafiyot, and that's more or less a portrait of Bor, the first paragraph. The rest you have to wait to actually see. You know, all the Gemara and Ranalef are really in Ranalef about adding the extra tefach, but they come up already with a few of Ranalef, so we study them. Okay? So, Mir Tashem on Sunday, we'll start with this. And then, and that comes out from all the Gemara that talks about Chomer Be'esh, Chomer Bishar, Chomer Tavor, so I'll just read through the Gemaras. Then, in Mir Tashem, we'll pile on to the second case the Gemara has, where partial negligence creates full liability. What happens if, two different cases. What happens if 5 people are watching and one leaves and maybe the last guy who leaves? What happens if 5 guys are sitting on a bench and then a fatso comes or someone adds a little weight and crushes the bench? Maybe the last guy should be high. So the Gemara is looking for test cases to see where partial liability, partial negligence creates full liability. Okay, guys, go to the trauma discussion. And hopefully I'll see you on Shabbos. And the schedule changes almost by the minute, but hopefully I'll see you on Shabbos, okay? Have a good restful day, everyone. Have a good restful day. Reb Zvid. Evidently, augmentation is only when you lend something incremental and significant. But when it's just redundant, you're not mislagged by the Rishon. 5 to 6 is augmenting it towards a greater damage. 10 to 20 is just redundancy.
I mean, you get 10 to 10. Once it does meet that, that's like.
Anything else has to cap and renders everything redundant. Whereas 5 to 6, you're still working towards a greater. You haven't fully endowed the extra element, but you're gearing it towards a greater damage, greater category. It makes sense. You know, that makes sense. That I can explain. I just have a hard time with the two rabbis. If Rabbi already talked about the Evan, and if the Evan is not Siluk, so you already sided with the Miri, why is he turning back and thinking about Ben Yonasan? That's my trouble in this segment that I have.
The Machloket said between Rebbe and Rabbanan. and then we plug it into the actual bor. Does that only work if we say Rabban and go according to Rabbi
Yehoshua? Because then the Shitas Rabban is pivoted. Homi Iri's notion is pivoted on Yetziras HaMasek. So Yetziras HaMasek, you look at the person that endowed the final, has a capacity to decide him. Whereas according to Rabban Yonah, it has nothing to do with how you view bor. Just what you say, the second digger is the final digger. Okay? Very good. Yehuda, very good, very good. Good following share.
Do we have to say that it's the Masik? No, we don't have to.
They both hold Yetziras HaMasek, right. But I want Tanaim for this table. I'm trying to find Tanaim for my table. They both could be in Yetziras HaMasek side, and Rebbe just says they're both Yetzir HaMasek. But that needs itself clarification. Why would you split the Hezek identity? Why would you split Misa from death from damage? Okay. Okay.
What's the pasuk that
Asher's Yichud? Lasikruv v'legalos erva.
So is it?